Gollings scrambles to get away from them, and get away from them he does. Gollings is into open pastures. He'll beat his opposite. Engelbrecht on the inside. On the outside, it's Missios. It's a Bond 1-2 to get this afternoon started. Now, Drew, a little play in behind, but it's been stolen away. And this is a narrative that keeps repeating. It's Bond, Bond, Bond. Barlow is over. Knack puts it in. And for the first time ever, destiny awaits the Bull Sharks. They're heading to Ballymore for the Store Local Hospital Cup Grand Final. Final score here at David Wilson Field, East 14, Bond 47.
Alrighty, welcome in Play-by-Play Rugby with you on a Tuesday night. A very special night it is indeed. We have plenty to get through as well. It's grand final week for these boys. Jordan Hughes with you alongside Drew Lanack back in studio alongside Tyler Campbell. Boys, pretty quiet weekend, eh?
Yeah, not. We didn't really get up to much. You know, I think the surf was pretty good and it was cruisy.
Nah, just kidding. We're through the grand final, baby. Yeah, we're on. Yeah, the boys.
Tyler.
No, it is a quiet weekend until 3 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Bit of a different weekend than normal. These are Sunday games. I'll tell you what, it makes it hard on a Monday, but yeah, stoked for the boys. I think probably our best performance of the year. You know, we've sort of started really slow and, you know, we're on this win streak. We're in our sort of eighth win in a row now, heading into a grand final and seem to found good form, but yeah, we're up against a different beast this week, so happy with that win, but on to the next challenge.
Absolutely. If you are watching this podcast and you watch it for our sharp rugby takes and picks on Wallabies games, you're missing this. These boys in the Hospital Cup, Queensland State Comp, 47-14 over these Tigers in the prelim final. Just dispatched them, 40-7 at half time.
35-7.
Yeah. Mate, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. I sort of said it in my post-game interview, you know, there was good energy in the sheds. Shout out to the ref. Got a bit emotional with his last words. And then I gave my final words. And then we sort of come out on the field, actually, I think a little bit early for the stand camera, unfortunately. Didn't get the timing right. So poor guy was running backwards as I was running at him. But, yeah, got out there. Kickoff happened. You know, early error from them. We score straight away. And then have a little kick duel. Rocco Gollings pulls off a miracle. And it's sort of just perfect start. And just kept building from there.
That first try to Barlow on the edge too. Beautiful pass on Porter and the finish from the big man. I thought he was unbelievable. Barlow and Boardman.
Yeah, Paddy's been really good. I think at the start of the sort of preseason when he was coming in, I think a few of the boys knew him from being around the traps, but I didn't know him and I just saw this big body, good looking lad. He was quick, good skills. I was really excited to see what he was doing in the season. And I think he originally came in as a centre and we sort of trialled with that and it kind of wasn't really sticking. Like, he was doing the job. But, yeah, we kind of shuffled him around a little bit and then, yeah, put him on the wing. And, yeah, he's just bloody coming to form. He's just, he's just so reliable. He's just another fella that just really is thriving at that club rugby level. So, yeah, he's doing really well.
I guess that first 20, we came out absolutely firing. And we've sort of been a theme of late. What's been going on with our starts? We're just coming out red hot.
I think it's just the pace we play it. I won't give too much away what we're doing there. Because obviously still got one to get and one to sort of get that same start. But, you know, I didn't think we were firing against West on all accounts for that start. It took us 37 minutes to actually get points, I think it was, in that game. But, yeah, boys on the weekend, they just came out at a high speed. Obviously helps having guys like Canham and Tonga Blake come back in. And they sort of brought a bit of gain line carry, sort of helped us get quick ruck ball as well. And then, yeah, sort of created some opportunities for us, but I sort of said it. The moment for me that sort of I knew we were on and we were in for a big day was when Rocco does make that break. We have seven or eight guys in frame, in support. So if he does get tackled or Zane gets tackled, we were ready to go again and hopefully finish that try. And I guess that's the mindset that you've seen shift probably in the club, to be honest, but in particular in first grade is just we have a whole heap of competitors, guys that are willing to compete until basically until the job's done. And, you know, that's just a good sort of picture of what we're doing at the moment. And, yeah, we just got to back it up and do it again this weekend.
You know, I love the two props combining for the try. The magic ball.
Reese is convinced he meant to do that, but I'm pretty sure he just headbutted it by accident.
Yeah, I think the grease from the KFC before the game was still a little bit, and it just kind of popped out.
It was all pre-planned.
Exactly.
Unreal. It was everything sort of went to plan. Luke DePazzi, 26 points, two tries, off the tee was sharp.
Yeah.
26, I don't know if the math's mathing, is that right?
I think that's right, from what I checked. 5 from 5, and did he get two tries? Penalty goal as well?
No.
You missed the penalty.
I'm counting 22.
He scored a lot of points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of points. Man, we counted the pen. He missed that, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But isn't he someone that's come in leaps and bounds the last sort of 6 weeks?
Yeah. If I had to give someone a most improved award for this year, he's definitely the guy that probably puts his hand up and probably wins that in a landslide. And early on, he probably struggled a little bit with what was wanted, and there was a lot of pressure put on him from the coaching staff and probably from us as leaders, but we sort of found that balance around how to get the best out of him, how to get him to do his job. And he's an athlete. Mm. You've seen it. He's a tough kid. He pushes through a lot. He's pushed through a few niggles this year, and he's also got a bit of speed to him. So he's found his rhythm and what's working for him in our system, and he's playing to his strengths. And, you know, his goal kicking was also exceptional on the weekend. So you got a shout out to him for that performance. And he was also great against West the week before.
I think another big credit to Lukey on that point as well. Like at the start of the season, when he was copping some serious heat from a lot of people, he just cop it on the chin and go, yep, I'll learn from it, I'll move on.
Yeah, you're
all
right.
Good, my bad. Like, he was just an absolute champion. And I think there was a few times where both TC and I sort of sent him a message after our Zoom reviews where he got licked
hammered
up
a bit.
He got licked up pretty bad. And we were just like, mate, everyone's just doing it because they care and they love you. And he's like, no, it's all good. Like,
it's footy.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. And he's just, just muscled on. He's, a trooper.
For you, mate, you good minutes? 47th minute, Martin, you came on, impact?
Mate, yeah, it's a little bit too much for my liking.
Mate, you're good. It's good. I liked
thanks.
It.
I'll tell you what, I'm actually really enjoying sort of coming off the bench and having LD there in the club as well. Like, he's doing a great job steering the boys around. But for me personally, like, it's in my sort of career, it's not very rare that I've come off the bench in a lot of games, and it's kind of, any time that sort of has happened in the past, I've really sort of struggled to get into the game, but I'm loving it. Like, it's given me a role in the team, sort of in that warm-up and sort of in the sheds, as Tyler just said, just to sort of be that NO and sort of get boys up and not really worry about my own job just yet. Then I sort of get some time to sort of calm down on the bench and just sort of watch the game unfold and try and sort of, when I get put in, sort of inject a bit of pace and sort of, if we're lacking some direction at that time, just sort of calm things down and get back into it. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's really good. It's obviously been the best thing for the team, and
It's important too. Like, if it's close, you come on that last 20, it's an important role to play for sure.
Yeah. Like, I'm lucky we sort of haven't really been in that situation here where I've had to sort of be that steadiness yet. But yeah, I'm loving it. Come on, it's obviously with the boys doing so well. By the time I get on, I just go out and have some fun.
Couple of hits.
Chat some shit, yeah, take off.
See the tackles, mate? Tackle Nooku swirling, wrapped him up, ball and all. Pills, take him out.
Late shot. Every time I see Nooku, like, I've obviously known him for years.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I go, oh, he's a big guy. And then there's situations where I get, like, a little half one-on-one situation, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Watch where you just grab him.
What do I do? Where do I grab?
What do I grab?
I get one limb out of four that I can actually hang on to, and that's it.
Got him down, mate. Got him down.
It's all that matters. It's all that matters.
What was the niggle like from the crowd? We know they're pretty hostile normally. Bit of back and forth.
It was weird. They started pretty hostile, but it was sort of brought up on the Stan broadcast. Obviously, scoring two quick tries like that kind of can silence a crowd, and then they sort of came back in that sort of period where we were up 21, and we probably had a messy 20 minutes of rugby, where East obviously came away with the points, and we probably spent a lot of time in our own half. We weren't exiting cleanly. We were probably giving them penalties that brought them back into our half, and that sort of got them back into the game. But then, obviously, those two tries before halftime with 14 men sort of flipped that script, and then, a couple of the boys let them hear about it, asked them where the chat was now. But the chat still kept going. I think that's club rugby. You got to go for 80 minutes if you're on that sideline, regardless of result. And I think East did that. And, a few boys after the game, they were still going. You could see the boys sort of making gestures towards the crowd. Yeah. But it's club footy, and that's what you expect. So, but I think, we got to realise that the crowd's going to be twice as much this week.
Yeah, we've got to bring some numbers in force. I know you don't like talking about yourself, but this year is probably such an incredible year for you personally. How do you find your form? Again, you're so strong on the weekend. Happy and loving the way you're playing your footy at the moment?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is we're in a squad at the moment that you've got 23 guys doing their job. You can extend that till we have sort of 30 guys that are coming in and out, our coaching staff, you include all that. everyone's sort of doing their role, which I think's made my job probably easier, where I'm not just focusing on myself, but I have a bit more time to think about what I'm doing. I'm sort of just get to do the things I like doing, which is running into people. And it's just made, I'm just enjoying my footy because we've got a good bunch, you know, there's a lot of support behind everyone. And yeah, it's just been a good year. When you're enjoying your footy, the form sometimes seems to follow.
Yes, it is. That probably helps you having Boardman outside you, the 13, you can trust who's been there, done
that.
Oh,
yeah. Me and Board have played so much footy together.
Yeah.
And I think my form probably lifted when he comes back as well, because there's just so much trust there. And he's such a good communicator as well. So his communication sort of at times puts me in the right spot, and he's not afraid to pull me up either.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have that one person that will call you out when you start to get a little bit too adventurous at times, which did happen on the weekend, and sort of pulled me back into line and reminded me what I need to be doing, which benefits the team and, yeah, probably helps with that performance.
I like it, but we're not done yet. One to go. Grand final, Ballymore, 2:45 against Brothers. We've dreamed about this moment for a long time. It's finally here, but job to do, boys.
Plenty to play for.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going for the three-peat. We're going for, maiden premiership under the Bond name.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had a premiership in the Gold Coast District since 2004.
21 years, yep.
21 years. I think it's the first final since 2007.
Yep.
So, obviously, plenty to play for both teams. And, yeah, really looking forward to it. I don't think there's much to talk about game-wise. It's just going out there now and hopefully coming away with a result.
Someone that has played in the grand final on this stage, Ballymore, twice. I guess what can the boys expect?
Kind of what TC said. Like, in a lot of aspects, it is just another game of footy, and I think people get caught up a little bit sometimes in the fact that thinking it's going to be something completely different. Like at the end of the day, it's 80 minutes against 15 opposite men. Toughest ones and hardest ones kind of generally come out on top, but . Having it back at Ballymore was unbelievable. Like, the crowds are always really, really good when we have the final series there. Obviously, the Hill's going to be in full swing. With Brothers having as many teams in the finals as they do, they're going to be there ready to go. And I'm assuming a lot of those boys are still going to be parked up from the Saturday. They probably won't want to go home. So it'll be extra spicy. But it's definitely another event in itself when you sort of look outside of just the rugby game. A lot of hype, a lot of build-up. You get the facilities and the walk-in and the people and the media around it. Like, this week's been crazy already.
Yeah.
It's a really good opportunity for boys to sort of test themselves at that next level. Like we say, for boys who come up from second grade into first grade, or boys who come from the local comps up to sort of that premier grade level, like, there's always a step from regular season to finals is a step, and then from the sort of first 2 weeks of finals to the grand final, it's another massive step again. So it's a really good, at the very least, it's a really good test to see kind of how probably those younger boys who haven't been in the situation and in sort of a men's finals competition, see where they're at.
Yep.
But yeah, it's going to be a bloody good weekend, and it's going to be a really good, really good Sunday afternoon. And yeah, I'm just excited to get into it. As we said, we're trying not to sort of let too much leak. We're trying to just focus on it one day at a time, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think all the boys are ready to go.
Well said. I love it. So 2:45, Brothers, if you're in Brizzy, come on down and support the boys. I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Yep.
From a club overall, women in there as well, Saturday afternoon, looking for four in a row.
Yep.
Incredible. And then second grade in the grand final, the first time in a decade, which is pretty exciting as well. So yeah. Big weekend.
Having both first and second grade is awesome. Obviously awesome having our women as well, but just sort of for the club. We obviously had third grade in last year.
Yep.
But I don't
think... They won it.
Yeah. They obviously won it, and then... this year to have first and second grade, like, that's normally a good indicator of how your club's tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where we both came from, I think between us in the first five rounds, so 10 games of football, we had one win.
Yeah, crazy,
and
isn't it?
Both sort of managed to skim their way into the four, and here we are with an opportunity to, create history.
I think with all the chat going on with all the other clubs in Brizzy about where Bond are and what they should be doing as well, it's a really good chance for just all to tell them to put their foot in it.
Yep. Get some silence.
Yeah.
I like it. Anyway, it should be a good afternoon, a good weekend as well. Club footy at its very best. Let's talk about the top level. TRC round 2 over in South Africa. Australia 22, the Box 30, boys. They had their chances, the Aussies. Obviously didn't help losing Tom Wright, Suwali and Nick White. Two HIAs and a knee.
Yep.
Thoughts on this one?
Tom Wright. I'll start with that. I just think he's got to be one of the most unluckiest footballers in the world at the moment. And obviously anyone who does an ACL is unlucky, but I thought he was in career best form. I thought he was putting his hand up to compete for the best fullback in the world spot. And it sucked to see him go off that early too. But South Africa, kind of got back into what they did well.
Yeah.
They got ahead. They won the little moments. They won the championship moments. And, you know, Aussie stuck with it and they hung around. But, yeah, I just think South Africa had too much class when it came to the end.
Obviously, I feel like we had missed chances. Like, O'Connor had a kick to take us up by one with seven or eight to go. Like, it was... The bounce of the ball could have definitely switched in a different direction.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a sort of ping pong style match. Like they sort of fired a shot, then we fired a shot. They fired a shot, kind of missed. We hit back, kind of missed. But for me, I think the thing that I was sort of looking at in the sort of the week that was in terms of South African camp and Australian camp, like they lost probably four of their biggest, but some of their most influential players. To injuries, and we were kind of going on in a bit of a high. Like, obviously, we don't want to prey on anyone's downfall with injuries and all that, but it was kind of an opportunity for us to sort of capitalise. But then for us to sort of have that rub of the rugby gods, where arguably three of our best players then get ruled out of the game.
Yeah.
Made for a very interesting comparison to see how the game was going, and sort of we've commented before about it, maybe not at the Australian level, but for Super Rugby, like squads that, like their depth might have been a little bit shallow and tested. I think that was kind of a bit of a point that where might not have showed up on the weekend just gone, but moving forward, who's going to fill those spots and how are they going to get back into that role and see how they can continue on with the TRC?
Corey Toole, debut. Good to see you finally. Got a try as well.
Yeah, rapid.
Well, yeah, what'd you make of it?
He's so fast.
He is very good. We haven't had genuine pace like that in a long time.
Pretty solid debut.
Mm. Yeah,
sure. Obviously scored the try. It was a good little nudge from Nick White. Best retirement of all time, I reckon.
Yeah, was it like 16
didn't even last
hours?
A week. but no, I thought he was solid. I don't know if he was as exceptional as everyone made him out to be, because I just think because he had a solid debut. If he played like that again this week, you're probably just saying it's a stock standard game. But great debut, great start, and obviously a hard task to have a debut like that in South Africa.
Yeah.
So full credit to him, and then interesting to see how he goes against Argentina.
Absolutely. Quickly. Fullback, what do we do, you think?
I think they've only got Callaway on the books. Yeah.
Or you do the Joseph thing, put him at 15, put Hunter in.
I wouldn't. No. I think Len and him have sort of got that combination on lock at the moment. Len's sort of moulded his game in that 12 jersey perfectly. You're starting to see him start finding a bit more gaps, starting to get over the game line a lot better, starting to use his late feet at the line really well. And if you take that away from him looking forward, you can put Suli back there, push him out one and bring a 12 in, or I guess bring a Josh Fluke in or whatever it is. But I just think he's finding himself in that 12 jersey. When Tom Wright comes back, he can slot straight back into that 15.
I think that would be a short fix to a long-term problem.
Yeah,
I agree. Good chat. I guess if we stay here in January and said Australia would go to South Africa, beat them and lose by eight, you'd be laughing, wouldn't you? So
you'd be happy.
Yeah.
Which I think everyone is, but... Yeah. I do think losing Will Skelton is huge.
That's it, yeah. So he's gone back to France, eh? La Rochelle has said, all right, you've had your fun, come back. Thank you.
Which I think, I understand they're paying him. Yeah, but international footy is meant to trump. Imagine if you had a French guy playing in Super Rugby and they pulled him out.
Yeah.
They'd be up in arms.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a shame. There's something got to work out there. But boys, Argentina, 29-23 over the All Blacks. Tyler Campbell, I come to you. They're so unpredictable, and again, they just got it done.
Yeah. Terrible performance from the All Blacks. Ill-disciplined, made a lot of errors, tackled defensively, were very poor. And I think it was a bit of a wake-up call because they've kind of cruised their first four games. They've never really been threatened, to say the least. And I think this was the bit of the wake-up call they needed, especially going into South Africa. I think they're missing Cam Røygaard big time. And I also
You're running out of nines.
Yeah, we're running out of nines. We're running very low. And I also think we're a bit... unsure what we're trying to do at the moment. There seems to be a lot of aimless kicking.
Yeah, okay.
It might not be aimless. They might have actually planned that, but watching it on the TV, it looks a little bit aimless, and it sort of goes against what we're good at. We've got big mobile forwards with great skills. We've got some of the best backs in the world, especially when they're on fire, and it just doesn't seem like we're using them at its best at the moment. So a bit of soul searching for them to do because they've got a big task coming up.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if you saw the post-match of Razor. They sort of asked him, you know, what happened, and he couldn't really give an answer. He just didn't really know. Like, is that a worry? Like, should he... Like, why do they perform like this?
It's funny. They've lost one game this year.
Mm.
Yeah.
And instantly it's like panic stations.
The New Zealand media. You should have heard them on the weekend. Jeez.
And let's not forget, Argentina beat the British and Irish Lions.
Correct. They're good.
Then they go down. They're unpredictable.
Mm.
They're a team that when they're up, they're up. But when they're down, they're horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the nature of what they are. But, yeah, I wouldn't be hitting panic stations yet.
Yep.
I think maybe after the next South African test, then we can start making questions. And I think they've got to bite the bullet and stop being so... What is the word? I can't think of the word, but just the rules around taking international players. Like, Lester Fa'anuku should be in there.
Yeah.
Richie's coming back. Let's start bringing him back in there and start building combinations into a 2027 World Cup.
So this week, obviously, no footy. They've got the bye, all travelling back. But next week is that big one at Eden Park. What changes do you expect for the All Blacks?
I think Wallace Satidi gets a start.
Yeah.
Artie stays at seven. Obviously, Tupou Vaiai's in there. Pretty similar, I think. Be interesting to see what they do with the wings.
Mm.
I don't think Rico performed that well on the wing, but I also don't think Billy Proctor performed well at 13.
Yeah.
I think Jordy Barrett's our best back at the moment, followed by Will Jordan. So I would love to see Leicester in there, but they're not going to do that. So I don't know what their game plan is going to be, to be honest.
Well, Finlay Christie would be your nine?
No.
Who you got?
Cam Rogard's meant to be back.
Is he?
Finlay Christie shouldn't be in there.
He would come off the bench, didn't he, on the weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Kyle Preston did.
Oh, Preston. Right. Yeah.
No, I'm not a big Finlay Christie guy.
So hopefully Roygaard's good.
Hopefully Roygaard's good to go.
What was your take on this game?
You didn't watch it.
Nice.
No, I didn't watch it. But no, I did. I did see, and I think it's an interesting stat. I can't remember if it was one of you. I can't remember if you posted it or one of your people posted it. But it was a statistic.
Your people as well.
It was a statistic about Pablo Matera.
Yeah.
I think it was something like Argentina have beaten the All Blacks four times in the last however many years, or whatever. Pablo Matera has played in each of those four games and has played 80 minutes in every one of those games as well.
Inspirational leader.
Mate, and I think around the same time this was coming up on my post, obviously my phone was listening to me and all that sort of stuff. There was a replay of his clip when I think they played New Zealand or Australia somewhere else. This was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and he got pulled aside for a captain's chat. And it was the ref was pretty much spraying about getting the line, and he was like, grab my jersey, like, I play for my jersey, like, there's no respect they're doing, like, you need to sort this shit out. And I was like, fuck, that's pretty full on, eh? Like,
they're very passionate, aren't they?
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah. For him to sit there and tell a ref, like, you know, you're wrong, like, I'm playing for respect, like,
this is my country.
Pull your head in.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, he's been a massive inclusion, I think, for them as well. Like, as we were just saying, like, when they're on, but when they're off, then they're way off. I think he is kind of that linchpin in what's going on. Like, if he's on, it's pretty...
They follow him.
Yeah. They go hard.
Well, the cool thing is it's round two and every team's had a win.
Yeah.
So it's very evenly poised, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
MPC, Waikato, I know a shield in a moment. It's very close to your heart. Talk us through it.
Yeah. To be honest, it is hard to keep tabs on what's going on.
Yeah.
Unless you're sort of following it. But you obviously had a shield match against Taranaki. Mm-hmm. I think they were like $12 outsiders.
True.
So, which was pretty cool to see them sort of come away with that. The man, the myth, the legend, Lima Sopawanga.
Does it again.
Hitting the kick. Ball falls off the tee. He has 20 or 15 seconds to kick it. Back on, slots it down the middle. And yeah, they come home with the shield. And I don't think people outside of New Zealand understand how much tradition and how much it means to win that shield.
Hmm.
Like, it's been around now for close to 100 years. And it's probably one of the New Zealand's most sacred trophies.
Yep.
I've got some great stories that we're not going to tell on the podcast around that shield and how much it actually means, but they would have done the whole trip around town with it this week. And yeah, hell of a game and hell of an upset, and sort of reminisced on it because 2018 we did the same thing to the Naki and was my Blazer game. We were heavy outsiders, had lost 10 games in a row and went down there and stole the shield, and it can really ignite your season. So hoping for them. Waikato love having the shield. It's a big thing for Waikato to have the shield, and yeah. Really looking forward to see how the season goes now because they'll want to defend it every time they play at home.
Play it now. Yeah, very exciting. And you'd love that. Geordie, Women's World Cup off and running over in England. I'll run through some of these results, the big ones. England 69-7.
Don't worry about me, bro.
Yeah, that's why I went to him.
Yeah.
England. He's not watched one game. I can promise you that.
Hey, we had our women's group chat talking about the footy and stuff. Yeah, trust. England 69-7 in the United States. Australia 73-0 over Samoa. New Zealand 54-8 over Spain. They're the big games to get started. The England game was a bit of a write-off.
Yeah. 69-7, obviously, as you said. Just double checking. Yeah, it was, to be honest, it was a little bit surprising, but I think every time I've sort of got involved, like, in my little periods of what's going on in the women's rugby side of things, I'm always surprised as to what rugby nations are doing really well. Like, Canada, for me, was always a really surprising one in women's.
Like, they're second in the world.
Exactly. Mm. and Ben's team
a woeful.
Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, I kind of figure like Canada, USA, like geographically they're obviously next door. USA is a big pool. The MLI is obviously picking up. You'd think there'd be a lot more traction behind rugby in the States. I would assume that their women's team would be performing a lot better than what they have.
Yeah.
In saying that, England, arguably probably the powerhouse or one of the powerhouses.
They're the favourites.
To win it.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I think it was. I don't actually like seeing scores like that go down in World Cups.
Which is happening a lot in this comp. Yeah, the gaps are a lot. Women's,
yeah, like it kind of shows that massive disparity, and it kind of, for me, it doesn't highlight how good the good countries are, but highlights how poor the bad ones are.
Mm.
And that's the gap that women's rugby, I think, needs to fill at every level. Like even if you go back to club rugby in here, like Queensland rugby, like the massive gap between women's teams here is sometimes a little bit disappointing.
Your favourite team.
Yeah.
They struggle a bit.
We're not going to touch that. But even like the NRLW as well, like they're obviously a lot closer.
That's a great example. The Roosters and the Broncos have won like 8 straight.
Yeah.
No one can even get near them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right.
They ruined that comp.
Who?
The NRL dub.
Why? Yeah.
Because I think it all used to be pretty close.
Even.
But then they've obviously, I think, like, I understand the expansion.
Mm.
Because they did it so quickly. And it's happening again next year, isn't it?
Diluted all the players.
Or 2 years' time.
They got a plan of more,
It's sort of like you have your core group, and those are girls that have just sort of played their whole life coming in, and now that there's a pathway there, it's obviously that younger lot coming through are going to start playing more. The skill level's going to lift in general across the board, and then it's going to filter, and then you have a couple more teams. Mm. And then it filters, and then you have a couple more teams again. Like, we didn't just start an NRL comp with 17 NRL teams. The NBA didn't start with 32 basketball teams. You build it over time, and I think I understand there's the pressure to build a woman's pathway and build a market for them, but by diluting the comp in that way, I think it brings down the standard and doesn't actually help the growth of the game this early.
I agree. Well, at the moment, you look at the Broncos, Queensland side, the Roosters, the New South Wales side.
Yeah.
All the big dogs are playing for them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, both those teams, what do they have?
Money. Yeah.
So they're going to dominate in the women's.
Yeah, like that's why Upton's there now, and Billy Boyle's at the Roosters, and you know, Sergius and blah blah. So, yeah, they got some work to do there. But who, you know, who's going well? The Wallaroos, mate. 73-0. What a start! I wasn't expecting this. So I thought it'd be a bit closer.
Their best pool game in a World Cup.
Yeah, I think so. Most points scored. Yeah. Good to see. And then New Zealand 54-8 over Spain.
They were pretty poor.
Yeah.
It wasn't their best performance, I should say. I shouldn't say they're poor. They won 54-8, but it was messy, and it can happen when you play those type of games.
Miller?
George, unreal.
Georgia Miller, yeah. She is so good, eh?
Such a freak rugby. I remember when I was in NZ, she was playing in the Condor Sevens, which is like the school level sort of national sevens comp, and it was on TV. And she would have been about 15 at the time, playing in the under 18, like the open girls. Mm. And she literally carried her school to a final. Ended up losing to Ham Girls, who had players like Tina Tatamaki, who played NZ. Like, there was a few of them all in that sort of, that are all pushed through into that pathway now. And she literally just lost that final, but she was playing almost by herself. Like, she was a freak at a young age, and you've just seen the progression now. Now she's moving to the Black Ferns, and you're going, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, freak. Anyway, so be more games to come this weekend, the Women's World Cup, that keeps on rolling. What's ChatGPT?
Yeah,
you get it. Telling me around the grounds, mate. What's happening in the world of sport?
World of sport. let's see. First one, Ryder Cup. You guys got an interesting bit about that? It's golf.
Golf. Thanks, mate.
Yep. U.S. tennis.
U.S. Open.
Yeah. Tennis Open kicks off. Yeah. What? 2 days ago.
Yeah. Nice.
Which is good. Hockey in Asia. Don't know. Snooker. You want to talk about snooker?
Cool. Yep.
No.
Big fan of snooker.
No, the one that did actually catch my eye, considering I'm assuming you boys are going to want to talk about the WWE in Paris in a minute. There was a death in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournament.
Really?
Yep.
How?
Some guy.
That's hectic.
Some guy died post-match, and yeah, that was it. And then from what chat's saying, it's really sparked like a criticism over the rules of BJJ, obviously, it's all like submission based, and like you get put into pretty vulnerable positions and stuff like that. But the other big criticism was the response time, which I'm assuming at like a high level. This is boring.
There we go. That was Joy Linac's sports wrap.
All right. Because I'm someone who actually follows sport.
Yeah.
Let's start with Brandon Smith.
Why did I talk about that? Why did you tell me that when you were like,
Hang on, we were giving you a moment. I'm going to start with Brandon Smith. What the heck is going on there?
I have a theory. I have a conspiracy theory, as we normally always do. I think what's happened is when they were up here last, he's just kind of hooked a few of the boys up, whatever.
Yeah.
Weekend away.
One text is all it needs.
Exactly. And now that's kind of snowballed into something. And now, because he was already affiliated to people that were caught up in all that shit, when he's come back to Queensland, they've been like, "Roll."
You know what? Seems believable because Victor Radley's being dragged into it. Exactly. And obviously, he would have been with them on this trip.
It was a golf trip up to the sunny coast.
Yeah. So I reckon that's, I mean, not that that's all that is. Obviously, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. But, like, I don't think it's like...
What was the voice?
That was good.
Like, I don't think it's like a syndicate thing and he's like, no, like a player not. And a whatever. I think
but he'll get made an example out of it.
Yeah.
But the other label...
But also, I mean, it's
betting
NRL.
The betting one. Have you heard this?
Yeah, that's...
But you can't... It's not a betting lane because all he said was... he told someone, I'm actually going to be starting this weekend. I'm not in the extended bench, which you're not meant to do because it's part of the integrity unit, blah, blah, blah. But
it would have been a harmless mistake to his mate.
But, like, what is he betting on? That you can't bet on him to play.
No, well, they were going to bet on first try scorer. That's what it was.
But he wouldn't have been in the list until he was brought into the team anyway.
Correct, yeah. Exactly right.
So,
yeah, I agree. It's all... But, you know, they'll make an example out of it. He's got to go to court now and stuff. So
yeah, but it's also...
You might get bigger and sack him?
No.
Dude,
think of everything that's happened to NRL play. Ezra Mann hit a child. Hit a small child.
What a $900 coked
up. I'm not saying he won't play again. Someone will pick him up. But, you know, it's crazy.
All right. Next one on my sports. Did you guys see Rampage Jackson's son?
Yes.
No.
Teeing off on that wrestler. Bro, so that dude's lucky to be alive.
There's like a... So he goes in and the wrestler was like kind of bullying him before the... He was going to do a spot, like, blah, blah, blah. This was, like, outside of the whole event, before the event. He comes into the event. He has to go in and do a slam.
Mm.
He slams the wrestler. Meant to be it. And then gets up and just goes, boof.
Like, slam this dude, and he was out cold. Like,
and just starts punching him in the head.
And he just gets on top and just... Oh, dude, he must have thrown 30, 40
punches.
Wait, is
this the guy that's in a coma now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did read this.
Yeah, that's, like, he must have thrown 30 or 40 punches.
What are you doing?
I don't know, like he just full hothead. Yes. But it's murder. So funny because people
it's
are
called
going,
homicide.
People are going up to like old Rampage Jackson clips, and there's one clip where he's like, "Yeah, I haven't given my son's a college fund. I've saved the money, but it's to actually probably get him out of jail."
Well, they might need to now.
he's literally in serious trouble.
But if you ever watch the videos of those two,
it
is definitely Rampage's. They are so funny.
Yeah, right. He's going to be some strife now, won't he?
Oh, yeah, he's going to be in some strife. But go watch some clips of them. They're actually quite hilarious as a duo. Not condoning what he did, but as a side note.
Fair enough. Also, do you see Pat McAfee was in Australia?
Yeah.
Saw it in Brizzy.
Yeah.
In Brizzy, but there was no announcement of what he was actually doing.
So I did a bit of digging. Apparently, he's here doing a movie. He's
involved. Yeah, I heard that.
That makes more
sense. Yeah, but the Lions got him in. He was kicking bombs. He was there on Sunday night watching the game. Mm. He's the one guy that I'd love to meet.
He's actually the Broncos' new signing for next year. So
he's fucking big boy.
He's actually playing for Bond this weekend.
Yeah, put him at 12.
We're summing him on to kick.
Yeah, plot twist.
Yeah, did you see that clip when he was kicking the Lions boys?
Yeah.
Man, he can absolutely shoot them.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, mate, the AFL ball would have been perfect for him too.
Yeah, big torpy. Mm. Launched it. So good to see him in Australia. What is happening in WWE? Paris?
Yeah, Clash of Paris, whatever it's called, this weekend. What events do we have? I actually been pretty zoned out from it for a while, but... I know we got Seth Rollins versus Jey Uso versus LA Knight versus CM Punk for the title, for the four-way. I know we've got Roman Reigns fighting Bronson Reed for the Shula Fala.
Okay.
Not the Ula Fala, the Shula Fala.
Right, yep.
A pair of shoes. That's all I know.
That's fine. You know what else starts this weekend? Properly. It's college football,
you
baby.
You know who's winning, baby. Ohio State, we're going back-to-back.
So this
big first game. That's so cool they can do that stuff now because it doesn't affect them.
Have you watched that new... Sorry, not to...
The Netflix?
SEC one? Nah.
You should watch it, actually.
You would enjoy it. I'm done with it because I'm just sick of those documentaries. I just find them... it's an oversaturated market now.
Yeah, there are heaps.
I want you to watch it so you can sort of get the feels like when you're there.
Yeah, before
so you know how big it is.
Yeah.
You want to watch one? Go watch the Johnny Manziel one.
I've seen that one.
That's the best.
I love that guy,
Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Stanford played on the weekend, the first game.
Oh, yeah?
They lost on a buzzer beater. Hawaii kicked to win.
How cool, they were in like Ireland or something?
They were in Ireland. That was Kansas State and Iowa State.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, like the different...
They play their first...
Some of the college games went and played like,
no
in
way.
Europe.
Just to like, you know, expand the games.
Really? Where'd they play?
At Dublin. What's that stadium? Aviva?
Aviva.
Yeah, there.
What crowds did they get?
They're decent. It was packed. Because they all travel, football, man. All the fans travel.
True.
And you got to think, all like the old boys, what do they call them?
I mean, probably the alma mater. It's actually probably not that far, to be honest. From the States to Ireland. Because you go the other way.
Yeah, true. I guess not like it's coming here. No. I guess, so. So Texas, Ohio State. Give me what are your thoughts? Give me a prediction.
Ohio State win. Jeremiah Smith, 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
1-12, though.
Yeah.
But I reckon it's high scoring. I'm expecting like 44-38.
Yeah. It's actually like a dream Sunday for all of us, really. I mean, have this in the morning and like go to see you guys do your thing. It's very exciting.
I won't be watching it, mate. I'll be.
I know. You'll be sleeping, getting your Z's.
Sliding in and looking at the scores. Yeah,
yeah. Florida State and Bama as well.
Bama.
Alabama.
Bama has a comeback here.
Yeah. Clemson, LSU.
It's always hard when you haven't seen these teams
play. I know.
Play.
It's going to be good. I reckon Clemson are front back to be good this year.
LSU lost all their receivers, didn't they?
Yeah. They got their quarterback, Nussmeier's back.
Nah, I'll go Clemson.
And then Miami, Notre Dame. Carson Beck for Miami.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Miami have a good offense.
They do.
There's some good receivers there. I'll go Miami.
Yeah, I'll go Notre Dame. And Oregon are playing some pleb team. We should beat them by 50. So, yeah, it's good. It's exciting. NFL's not far away as well.
You know what? In all fairness, I don't have thoughts right now. Give me 3 weeks.
But you have a team now already. You're a Stanford guy.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, that's not a good team to be jumping on.
Not great, no.
I've been saying
jump on Oregon. They got the best uniforms.
I've been saying for a while.
It's going to be different.
No, mate, Oregon, you Texas, green, you Oregon, you Clemson. I never know what.
Oregon, I'm always green. Oregon. I've been Oregon for years. Oh, don't start.
Here
me.
We go.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I don't know who I'd want to back. I'll figure it out. But I've been saying for a while. I actually need to get involved, and now I have time to actually do it. Like I've got a week off of stuff now, so I've got some time to actually sit down. So I'll watch those docos, and I'll start making some
notes. Watch some highlights on the weekend, mate. You'll be good.
Yeah. Well, I need to, because if anyone asks me when I'm over there what's going on and I have no answer.
Mm. You could do the Aussies proud, mate. Know your shit a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks. Desi Hasler got sacked, boys.
Yeah.
From the Titans. Gone. Yeah. As expected.
It was coming. I don't even think it's a coach problem. I think there's a culture problem at the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it's from the top down.
Mm.
But like the whole... You see him, like he's flipping out. When a coach is flipping out like that, it's because he's not getting backing from certain things. Like, boys not in the sheds. Like, it just seems there's a culture shock there. Because on paper,
no, mate.
That team, like, unreal forward pack.
Yep.
You got State of Origin props. You should have David Fito and Bo Formal, who both played State of Origin now. Who's their lock? He's good. I can't think of his name. But you get the point. They have Jaden Campbell, AJ Brinson, Keanu Kinney.
Yep.
Like, there's so much talent in that squad. They're just not performing.
Man, you guys know, I reckon Carter Gordon's going to be good in league. I'd be putting my chips in on him. I'm backing him.
I'm still very surprised he's decided to come back to contact sport.
To the league after his thing.
Yeah.
Mate, it pays the bills. You got to do it.
Yeah, I actually saw him Monday and he seemed like, fuck, he's big. Tall. Yeah, he's 6'3". Thick. Yeah. He's got name in reserves this weekend.
Thick, yeah.
He's fucking stocky, mate. He's leaguey.
He knows he's thick.
Okay. Anyway... anything else? Happy? Excited?
Ban the sternum law. Let's get us to the GF.
Vibes are high.
Sick of this waiting.
Yeah, it's exciting. So Bond vs Brothers, Ballymore Stadium, 2:45, live on Stan Sport and 9 Gem. Don't miss it. These boys will be in action. We'll see you next week for a big pod. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, Jordy.
Will we?
Well, actually, yeah.
We're going to have to discuss it.
Look, guys.
Regardless of result, it's going
to
be
a Jordy might do a solo pod. I don't know what state I'm going to be in next week to be here.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Or we come in whatever state we're in, and it could be our best podcast ever.
All that.
No, pass.
Bring the beers. That'll go well.
Some of us have a reputation.
Do you?
Dude, you...
No, I just have a job.
On that note.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, me and Geordie don't next week. All right, bye-bye.